Well, friends, the Apostle Jude, the brother of our Lord Jesus Christ, found it necessary to write, appealing to his readers to contend for the faith, because of the inroads that evil people had made who were completely distorting the very meaning of the gospel. Jude wanted to say something about the common salvation to the Christians of his time, but for some reason he was diverted and was compelled by the Spirit instead to write about a crisis in his day. A crisis, it seems, which needed urgent attention. He found it necessary to write, appealing to them to act quickly regarding some who had entered the church who were actually ungodly people. Sadly, we can be in the very same situation today. Men who live according to the flesh, that's how they live. But they've entered the church and have preached, in some cases, to millions of people in its service, only to be found out that they are false shepherds. But there's another crisis today which needs urgent attention, and we're not referring to the COVID pandemic, although that is a crisis that the church needs to address by calling the nation to repentance and to prayer. There is the crisis of those who, as in Jude's day, pervert the true meaning and value of words. They've completely reversed the meaning of evil and good. There are ideologies and beliefs around that are accepted by many institutions which they even acknowledge themselves to be unscientific. But nevertheless, these ideologies, these beliefs are given credit as if they were reality and as if there were truth. Jude says that these people scoff at things that they do not understand. And he says what sorrow awaits them in verse 10. The New Living Translation says that such people are like unthinking animals. They do whatever their instincts tell them, and so they bring about their own destruction. It seems as if Paul's prophecy that God would send a strong delusion so that they would believe what is false has actually come to our own shores. Now, Jude's letter was written at the same time as Peter's second letter in Scripture, and it was addressed to the same people. Their themes are very similar and their messages are instructive about the manner how we must conduct our ministries. Peter mentions the need of having patience, and he states that God delays sending judgment. And this is a good thing in the sense that it gives people time to repent and to believe the gospel and to be saved. And Peter states that the Apostle Paul was similarly careful about how he handled such ministries when he wrote his letters to the various churches. Peter admits that Paul could be hard to understand. I find that encouraging. Thankfully, it was only some things that could be hard to understand that Paul wrote about, but thankfully, it was just some things and not everything that he wrote that was difficult to understand. Now, two solemn things that Peter and Jude both say very clearly in their letters. And one was that the evildoers heard the truth. It wasn't that they never heard the gospel, but they heard it and they deliberately twisted it into lies. Peter saying they twisted it to their own destruction. And Jude saying that they perverted the grace of God. They knew about the grace of God, but they turned and twisted it into sensuality. And the second thing that both of them said was that judgment was certain for those who persevered in unbelief. Peter stating that they brought upon themselves swift destruction, 2 Peter 2 verse 1, and Jude saying that the gloom of outer darkness, utter darkness, was reserved forever for them who remained in that unbelief. Now, the transgender revolution has swept over the whole world, not just the West, and it seems unassailable, but of course that's wrong, it's not unassailable. They are a minority group, the transgender folk, and their tremendous rapid growth has been achieved because of their zeal and their organisation ability and their perseverance. And that, together with the silence of the churches and of Christians, they've advanced and gained so much power. And so the church must contend for the faith, else this perversion will continue to increase and grow. And we will need conviction about it, courage in it, and we will need agape love to be able to graciously contend for the faith, for the truth of God's word. We need, first of all, to have this agape love, which is the love that Jesus Christ has for sinners. That is love for the unlovable, for the guilty, and for the undeserving. The seed of this love was implanted in us at our regeneration. It is the first mentioned fruit of the Spirit in his work on our souls. Love, joy, peace, and so on. Love was mentioned first. This love that Christ had. So, we must have this motive of love in seeking to contend for Christ. As Paul says, we must speak the truth to these people in love. We cannot really do justice in contending against the enemies of God unless we genuinely love them and love sinners and have the good of society at heart. God has the welfare and the good of at heart for everyone, as well as seeking his own glory. When he calls us to repentance, he has our happiness, our eternal happiness in view. Jesus assures us that coming to him is the only way that we will find true happiness and rest for our souls. Now, we need to ask ourselves, how much are we prepared to suffer for Christ in contending for the faith? Have we the courage to withstand any hostility or unpopularity that would come our way as a result of defending our faith? These are serious questions, but they are questions that need to be asked. Great wisdom and discernment is needed in such considerations. As Jesus said and asked, what king going out to encounter another king in war? And what in a war? Will he not first sit down first and deliberate whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against them with 20,000? That's in Luke chapter 14, verse 31. Are we convinced too that this matter, this radical change of the meaning of words like marriage and the gender self-identity with its pronouns issue, etc., etc., is it something worth defending? And the answer, of course, is certainly, of course, it's worth defending. It's about the truth of God, God's word. Jude goes on to remind us that to enter into such warfare, we Christians must engage in building ourselves up, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, and praying in the Holy Spirit. Not just uttering words, but in the spirit of prayer, with the spirit of prayer. And we must keep ourselves in the love of God, this love that he has for sinners. Now, in contending with unbelievers, Jude assures us that we need to be cautious, wise, and patient. We need to be tender-hearted and gentle. It's essential that as we minister to people, we do not judge them, although if asked, we must correct and instruct them and point them to what the Word says. We must, says Jude, show mercy on those who doubt. And to others, show mercy with fear. We must remember that doubt is distinct from unbelief. Unbelief is a decision not to believe the truth. It's a decision. While doubt is uncertainty and indecision about the truth. And people can be genuinely uncertain about what is truth. But unlike Pilate, it's usually because they do not know enough about the love of Christ and that they've never met Jesus or seen a very good example of him. Well, may you and I be able to contend faithfully for Jesus Christ and for his truth. May God bless these thoughts to us.